What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What's up, everybody? It's Bo here, and that's right. It's another House of the Dragon TV talk. We got episode 3, Second of His Name, which is kind of confusing. This is the third episode, but it starts with the word second. If you're dyslexic, it's really messing you up. Anyway, we make a major time jump in this episode, and I think that is a good decision, all things considered. As I mentioned last week, the whole age difference of all of these different marriage pairings and everything is uncomfortable, to say at best. And so jumping ahead to when everything's kind of been smoothed out, now we got babies, it is what it is. I'm glad they did that. That's really good. In the time jump sense is what I'm glad of. Anyway, so we've got the king, and he's kind of dealing with the fact that now he does have a son, which he didn't think he was going to have. And of course he's named Rhaenyra Heir, and he's a good guy when it's all said and done. I mean, like, you know, he wants to stick with his word. He's putting forth his daughter. Everybody's putting pressure on him to switch it to his son. He's not wavering in that. But you see the way that all of his counselors are trying to manipulate him. Like, we know from Game of Thrones that the idea was that the Targaryens kind of went back and forth. They were either crazy or they were kind. And Viserys seems to be a kind king. Like, he does want to do what's right, but he's also a little bit more simple in the sense that he's not stupid per se, but he's also not like a strategic thinker, someone who kind of thinks with his heart and feelings and that sort of thing. And we see all of his counselors coming together to try to take advantage of that. It's interesting because everything that we've seen from the Stark dude that's on his council has been kind of like, oh, that guy's kind of a jerk. But in terms of everybody that is kind of coming to bring him counsel, I thought that the Stark dude actually presented with the most reasonable offer or the most reasonable explanation. You know, we see with Rhaenyra, though, she's not really having this. She's going to be shooting for her own hand. You know, she doesn't want to be forced to marry. It's a little bit of a trope. You know, the princess doesn't want to marry who people are telling her to marry. It's a trope. She's a Disney princess. But ultimately, that is the duty of all these royal folks, is that they've got to kind of marry to stop wars and to kind of get political treaties or to buy a bridge or what have you. And so part of kind of the job description is, you know, you don't have a whole lot to say when you want to get married or who you're going to get married to. And yet at the same time, the king is really trying to like leave that door open so that she does have the ability to choose, so that it doesn't have to be a strategic pairing, but it does have to be a pairing because we got to shut up all these people that are around us that are putting all this pressure on our family. Now, it's interesting because at the beginning of the series, the big concern was that there's not really a good path of succession here. And the reality is now we've got kind of a lot of paths of succession, because aside from the fact that we've got Rhaenyra, who's the direct descent or the direct kind of next in line for the throne, we now got baby Aegon. And so he's chilling. He's here as kind of a backup should anything happen to her. And we also see that there's another baby on the way. That's three children, ladies and gentlemen, three children. And I think that's kind of the Targaryen way, right? They always have, the dragon has three heads, there's always three kids. So we got three kids. I don't know, maybe there'll be more. With the way these time jumps are going, we might come back and Aegon's like a teenager next week. Who knows what ends up happening? We also see that Daemon, he's over across the sea with the sea snake. They're battling off with the crab feeder. It's not going very well, which is surprising to me because you'd think with when you got dragons on your side, wars kind of end pretty quickly. But the crab feeder, kind of true to his symbolic creature of which he has based a lot of his life choices, he kind of comes out, he strikes, and then he crawls back into the sand. And so dragons aren't really worthwhile underground, and that seems to be the reason why they're having such a problem with the crab feeder and his kind of, you know, group of radicals. We see when Daemon comes into the field of war, he doesn't really care about his people. Like, you know, you see the soldier like, yeah, save me, my king, and he literally gets stepped on by the dragon, just communicating even further that Daemon isn't really a man of the people. He doesn't really care about even the people he wants to subjugate or be the ruler thereof. He just wants power. He just wants his birthright. And, you know, who cares who he's ruling or who cares about these peasants? They're all pawns in his game. Even later on, when his brother is like, hey, you know what? I don't want you to lose. I don't want you to die. I'm sending some ships. What does he do? He like freaking beats up the messenger. Like, Daemon is a jerk. He is a jerk. Dragons are cool, though. I mean, like, you know, it's undeniably awesome seeing the dragons fly into battle and everything. And, you know, it's pretty cool. He does succeed by the end of this. They do end up taking the crab feeder, cutting him in half. I thought maybe he was going to, like, raise up that little Mardi Gras mask that he wears, but apparently not. Be cool if we see that as like a trophy room type situation. But theoretically, this is going to let him become the king of the sand people. I forget, the sea people. What's the deal? Like he gets something, right? He becomes the king of the salt shore. I can't remember the names. Anyway, point is, he's now got some kind of royalty that he himself has now earned as opposed to been born into. And that is going to be kind of a quintessential chess piece move for him. He's kind of the precursor to Daenerys, right? Like she went across the sea, became a ruler over there, gathered up an army, conquered a bunch of cities, came over here, tried to take Westeros, failed hard. And so maybe we're seeing him do the exact same thing, but maybe he'll succeed. Who knows? I mean, I guess somebody knows. It's all textbook. Like all of this stuff is spoilers somewhere, but I have no idea. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it all plays out. A lot of symbolism this episode with the hunt and the hunting of the stag. Now, for anybody that watched Game of Thrones, we see the king getting drunk, going on a hunt. This is obviously going to bring up images and memories of Robert Baratheon and, of course, how he died by boar on a hunt, or died by being drunk trying to hunt a boar and thus getting sliced to smithereens. We see specifically Rhaenyra goes toe-to-toe with a boar and walks away. We see that the king goes after a stag, doesn't find the one that he's looking for, goes for the kill shot, misses, then gets the kill shot, then walks away sad and depressed because his desires, like this kind of perfect, ideal, you know, message of the gods and everything, it's all coming together. It's not, and it never was, and he knew it wasn't. Everything's a mess, and he's aware of this. Meanwhile, the true heir goes and meets up with the other true heir and they run away free. And so like, there's a lot of symbolism that's going on here. And I'm actually curious. This is one of those scenes and sequences. I'm looking forward to actually seeing what other people's kind of takes are, because I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of different interpretations on what that might mean. You know, one of the things I do with these minis is I never watch any videos. I never listen to any other podcasts. I stay off of Twitter. I want to share my thoughts completely fresh that have not been tainted by, you know, oh, we all hate it, or oh, we all love it. No, this is just my hot take. So what you're getting from me is exactly what I'm thinking. But this is definitely an episode that I'm looking forward to kind of diving in and gathering some other thoughts and kind of interpretations on some of the more symbolic nature of what we see here. So yeah, overall, really solid episode. Enjoyed it. Looking forward to seeing what comes next. Would love to hear your thoughts. Head over to tvtalk.fm for all of our contact information. You can also follow us on Twitter at tvtalkfm on the Twitter. That's going to do it for me for today. But until next time, I'll be back in a flash.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.